Father, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love this day that you have created, Father. We shall rejoice and give you the praise and glory, Father. Just let us learn and see how you move and see how you work in all of us, Father. Just give us your mercy, your love, and your grace, and let us today share your love with among us and what we are feeling and what we are seeing and what we are hearing.
Yes, Father.
Father, just give you the praise and glory. We ask it all in Jesus.
Yes, we do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So this I don't know actually how to pray. That's the thing, right?
I think we found out that good morning to everyone that's listening to us. This is a Sunday morning
adult sharing
time.
Yes.
And we're going to start in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I believe the 34th verse. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Buddy knows right even.
Yes.
Okay. And Brenda's going to start out reading.
14:34. You want me to go to the end or?
Yeah.
All right. The women should keep quiet in the churches, for they are not authorized to speak, but should take a secondary and subordinate place, just as the law says. But if there's anything they want to learn, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to talk in church, for her to usurp and exercise authority over men in the church. What? Did the word originate with you, Corinthians, or has it reached only you? But if anyone thinks and claims that he is a prophet, filled with the governed by the Holy Spirit of God and inspired to interpret the divine will and purpose in preaching or teaching, or has any other spiritual endowment, let him understand, recognize, and acknowledge that what I'm speaking to you is a command of the Lord. But if anyone disregards or does not recognize that it is a command of the Lord, he is disregarded and not recognized. He is one whom God knows not. So, to conclude, my brethren, earnestly desire and set your hearts on prophesying, on being inspired to preach and teach, and to interpret God's will and purpose, and do not forbid or hinder speaking in unknown tongues, but all things should be done with regard to decency and propriety, and in an orderly fashion.
I bet there's a lot of churches don't want to address 34.
Uh-uh. And they've...
I mean, but like I said, when we were just talking, I was saying that, you know, according to the Apostle Paul, he's saying that he's getting this from God. And it's not that you disagree with Paul, you're actually disagreeing with God in it. And then, I mean, he's kind of...
I think he's got to give greater understanding, or God does, or something, greater understanding, because some of they've taken this and made it such a law.
A doctrine, then.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believe there's deeper understanding than just the letter of it.
I was thinking maybe the actual truth of that is when that was given. It was given to,
you're talking about the age. The Corinthians
yeah. was basically like Greek people, pretty much, you mm-hmm. know, because Athens and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had female goddesses and all that kind of stuff, and they had a lot of things like that. And I think part of what Paul was doing was trying to tamp that down, you know, that because people had a tendency that they were going to those people, you know. And
so it was like they had idols?
They had, they, yeah, they did. They worshipped and they were very superstitious. And I told you they had those oracles. I think I told you about that before, once before, where they would go and they would talk to these people that were supposed to be oracles. And a lot of times, most of the time it was women. And they'd sit in these caves or whatever it is, in confined places. And people would come in there and they would tell them what the future was and all that stuff. And they located one of those places where it actually happened. And they said they found out that seeping up through the rocks was some kind of gas. That, no, really, honestly,
no,
what?
I
know,
I'm
it's
saying,
funny,
yeah,
it's funny, but it really
true,
was.
Yeah.
And there was some kind of gas was seeping up through those rocks where they actually talked to the people. And they said that they were probably
hallucinating
or partially
high as a kite.
almost asphyxiated. Sometimes they said, but they were sitting there, and they said that had a lot to do with what.
So you think they were basically hearing what they wanted to hear?
Well, you know, a lot of times, if you go to a lot of these mentalist people, they know how to read people, and they I think sometimes there is people who can get in touch with the spirit world and the wrong spirit world at times, because let's face it, read what happened to Saul when after Samuel had died, he went to a seer, which wasn't a prophet, you know, wasn't, and he went to a seer, and he had that person call up Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel was actually, had died, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know what Samuel said to him? He said, "What is this you have done?"
That's right.
He said, in other words, he's told him, you're in big time trouble, buddy, is what he was telling him. "What is this you have done?" He said. Now, I mean, that's in the scriptures, you know. And it wasn't long after that Saul was killed. You know, he lost his life. Pretty shortly after that. It wasn't very long. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest with you, we had a couple young people in this church that told me one time that they went to fortune tellers. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I said, "You don't want to do that."
Oh, no, I don't.
And they got a little bit offended at me, and I told them, I said, "You don't want to do that." I said, "That's," I told them that story about Samuel and Saul. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I said, "You know," and I said, "There's a difference. If God gives you a prophetic word, that's a different thing." I said, because, you know, the only thing about it is the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And
that's
some of those
right.
people I think out there who have that gift, you know, they've been gifted in that area. And that doesn't always mean that they're serving the Lord.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you should put them in no special place, you know. You know, people have a tendency to elevate people that can do things like that. Or even a prophetic ministry, if a prophetic ministry comes in, people have a tendency that they sort of stand in awe of those people. And really, you really shouldn't, because what does Scripture say? By their what shall you know?
Fruit.
By their fruits.
Mm-hmm. Not by their gifts, by their fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And when it says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, then, you know, you know, you can be gifted and you can be not using the gift in the way that the Lord wants you to use it, you know. And even Balaam, look at Balaam in the Old Testament. Everything Balaam said to I'm trying to think of his name right now. It's slipping my mind. Balak, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he said to Balak was true. Everything. And it was the word of the Lord. But he wasn't even supposed to be talking to Balak.
No.
And he was not. The name Balaam means not of the people. You know, I've shared a sermon on that one time, but it means not of the people. And he was standing off from Israel, observing them, and trying to prophesy basically into Israel.
God wouldn't let him.
Yeah, well, he even said, I won't say anything but what God tells me, gives to me to say.
They don't want him to curse.
Mm-hmm. He wanted him to curse them.
And he could not.
And what he did do, though, is he said something about their table, you know, their eating habits and all that kind of stuff. And you know, up in the New Testament, it tells you that he was a false prophet. But even the things he prophesied were true, you know. But he was a false prophet because his motivations were not
God
centered in God. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's...
And
you know,
when he died, where did he die? With
I don't remember exactly, Ralph.
He was still with that people.
Yeah. Lonely?
Huh?
He was alone?
He was with that people. He
all
never went
people
to the children of Israel.
Yeah.
Where
no,
he should
no,
have
no
been.
No, he never joined himself to them.
No.
He wasn't even part of them.
Uh-uh.
You know, he was off doing his own thing. You know what I mean?
And he was still within the one that was against Israel,
yeah,
and wanted to curse them.
Well, he wanted them to curse them.
And
yeah,
when they, yeah, I remember reading there when, yeah, when they came there and they overtook what Balak, the people and all. He was in the midst of them. He died in the midst of them.
Well, and look, if we're going to talk about that, it's all right to talk about that. And just for a few seconds, if you want to talk about that, here you have Balaam, and he went and he sought God, and God told him not to go. And Balak came back to him, and Balak, you know, well, if you went a little higher, or if you did a little lower, or whatever it was, I don't remember. And you know, he basically was
begging him to go.
Had him look at him two or three different times. Well, then finally, he went anyway. And then that's when he was riding his donkey, and his donkey ran his foot into the wall,
trying to stop him from stopping.
And then he got off. I think he beat the donkey, and he rode him again. And he did that about two or three times.
Until
the donkey talked to him.
Right.
And he said, am I not your donkey, and have I not served you all these years? And he said, you know, the angel of the Lord was standing there with a sword to kill you if you came through there and went.
And he tried to prevent.
Because he went off into the field and he did all this other stuff. You know,
another one.
That's a great sermon. I mean, you know, sometime we'll have to preach that sermon again.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and what in Balak's name means the waster. So who was Balak a type of? Type of the satanic force, you know,
yes,
the waster. And but anyway, you know, if God can prophesy to you out of a donkey, you know, then you
he
don't
can
need
speak to you through anything.
That's right. So you don't need to put anybody on the high elevated level just because they give you a prophetic word. And God can, he speaks to you every day out of all kind of things.
And the thing is for us knowing his voice.
Well, sure, for sure.
If we know his voice, knowing him. When he speaks, no matter through whom or in any circumstance or situation, we see God.
We had a brother who used to come to church here, and he had a strong prophetic anointing on him, you know, as far as, you know, giving prophetic words and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have, he had a strong word. It was very, very anointed originally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then later on, he started getting into some things, and he ended up leaving the church, you know. But he was always kind of at odds with Brother Addy, you know, a little bit.
He didn't want to answer to anyone in authority.
No, he didn't. He wanted everybody to submit to his authority,
yep,
but he didn't want to submit the authority of anybody else. But anyway, he stood outside the church for years and years and years until he passed away, prophesying into it through people that he would run into, or letters or whatever he would send. And he sent me a few letters, and I just asked God, I said, God, let me respond to him. And I'd sit down and start to write him a response in a letter. Hi. Come on in.
Thank you.
Come on in.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
And anyway, I asked God to let me respond to him. And every time that I prayed about it, I felt like the Lord said, leave him alone.
read 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, I'm actually going to take us back to the 33rd verse.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Who are you, young men? What's your names? We just would like to meet you.
Nice to meet you. My name is Robert.
Robert?
Robert?
Yes.
My name is Justin.
Justin?
Justin? Nice to meet you. I'm Brother Oscar. Just go around the circle and introduce yourself to him.
I'm Brother Clyde. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
This is Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
My husband.
How are you doing?
Good.
Praise the Lord.
1 Corinthians 14:33. 1 Corinthians 14:33.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to actually read this out of the J.B. Phillips.
We will tell you this. This is a discussion class, and Clyde's leading it. And, you know, if you have anything you want to say, you're free to speak up and say whatever you want. Share.
And I'll tell you, we are recording it.
And it will go on the internet.
So you're going to be held answerable for what you say.
And there
it is. Yeah,
that's
so I'll shut up right now.
Like that statement, whatever you say can be used against you. We're just kidding. But it does go out on the internet, you know, the Sunday school class and the service.
First Corinthians 14, chapter 33rd verse. The spirit of a true preacher is under the preacher's control. For God is not a God of disorder, but of harmony, as it is plain in all the churches. You know what? When the Word of God speaks it, I believe that makes it being done in order. It's already spoken. He spoke it out. So, all churches, listen up. This is how you're supposed to be. All right, that's it. Let women be silent in the church. They are not to be allowed to speak. They must submit to this regulation, as the law itself instructs. If they have questions to ask, they must ask their husbands at home, for there is something improper about a woman speaking in church. Well, and I'll tell you, because you don't know, but about me, the greatest teacher I ever heard was my mother. Because she walked the walk, and what the Word says, that's how she lived. So she was the best, you know, when you see it being done, that's the best teacher you can have. And in high school and in grade school, most of them were teachers, and they were great. They were great. You know, I didn't have nothing against women, they were great. And it says, are you beginning to imagine, I like this, that the Word of God originated in your church, or that you have a monopoly of God's truth? Okay, so we're questioning it. If any of your number think himself a true preacher and a spiritual-minded man, let him realize that what I have written is by divine command. If a man does not recognize this, he himself should not be recognized.
Tell them what translation you're reading out.
I said J.B. Phillips.
That's a J.B. Phillips translation.
It's a New Testament version.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have King James? And I don't know what else you have.
So we have an Amanda Bible. Another language.
What is it?
Language Bible. Our language Bible.
Oh, your language. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Well, see, there's a lot of different translations of the scripture.
Yeah, right.
We don't necessarily just stick to one. We go to different ones. You know, what a lot of people in America use is King James. You know, that's what
we read out the Amplified.
They read out the Amplified, and he was reading out J.B. Phillips.
Yeah, and most of the people.
So there's just different ones, and we do a lot of studying into the original Greek and Hebrew words. You know, the meaning of what they actually meant. You know. So, you know, trying to translate word for word is pretty hard in the scriptures, because a lot of times when the translators did a pretty good job, but some of it was opinionated, you know what I mean? So if you can go into the actual meaning of the words, sometimes it makes it even greater and even stronger a lot of times. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. I just figured we should read these last two verses
and we'll stop and talk about it. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. In conclusion then, my brothers, set your heart on preaching the word of God, while not forbidding the use of tongues. Let everything be done decently and in order. Says at the conclusion of that whole thing, beginning with verse 39, it says, "So my fellow believers long to be prophets, so that you can preach God's message plainly and never say it is wrong to speak in tongues."
And what verse is that?
That's actually, that's 39. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then it says, "However, be sure that everything is done properly and in good and orderly, in an orderly way." God's not a God of disorder, okay? I mean, even though a lot of people, just because something that we don't understand doesn't mean it's out of order. It just means that we haven't been enlightened by the Holy Spirit enough. I'll take it back to we haven't sat in His presence enough to where He can actually talk to you. Where, you know, of course, I mean, we read Scripture and the Bible says, "My sheep know my voice." But I think it's not. It's more than this. It's "my sheep know my voice." This is His voice. This is His voice. The books are His voice. The written word is His voice. That's how, if people stay and study it, the Bible, there's a lot of scriptures that say, "Study to show thyself approved." And what's the rest of that?
Workman rightly dividing the word of truth, you know, basically, right. Yeah.
And not be ashamed. But, I mean, when the Lord speaks, I mean, I've seen a lot of people out in the congregations over the years. They don't open this, and they're agreeing with whatever said. But I personally, I think that the Holy Spirit would really like them to read it off the book. So, and why do we speak the Word of God? Why do we read it out loud? So we'll have ears to hear, and we'll hear what the Word says, and it'll go in us here, and then it will come to our heart, and it'll find its resting place. Until the Holy Spirit stirs you up to say, "Oh," like a light's been turned on. I mean, when I got saved, that's what it felt like I had a light turned on. I had ears to hear, but I believe that, you know, the Word of God's not going to return void. It's not going to return empty. It's going to go and do what it's supposed to do, and if it's supposed to release, it'll release those who it's supposed to release. If it's supposed to encourage it and encourage those. If it's supposed to, the Word of God does so many different things. It increases your faith to believe that this, you know, some people need miracles. But I think the greatest miracle is salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. And when you get that, then I think you're open to so many things that God has in store for you. You know, you become like a receiver. I always tell people, you got to fine-tune the receiver. When you're listening to the radio, you got to fine-tune that which you want to hear. Well, if we want to hear God's word, we'll be getting fine-tuned. We'll be put in situations. We might not see God, but God says, "Now's the time for you to hear me."
Yes.
I mean, He wants you to see Him in all things, but I believe He wants you to hear Him in everything. Because when you know His voice, "My sheep know my voice, and none other will they follow." Anyway, I'll shut up.
Well, you know, going back up to that first verse that we started reading up there, where it talks about women being quiet in the church. There also, Paul also wrote in the scriptures that in Christ there's neither male nor female.
Yeah.
So once someone receives the Spirit of God inside of them, you know, what that means is that when they're speaking, it should be Christ speaking out of them, you know, because the great mystery that was hidden from past generations, like it says in Colossians, past generations, which now is made manifest or opened up to us or whatever, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, that's because when you give your life to the Lord, the Spirit of Christ comes and dwells inside of you, or it awakens inside of you, and that's the thing that should be leading you. You know, there's also a scripture that talks about the written word being a dead letter without the anointing of the Holy Spirit being on you to interpret it. You know, it's so the neat thing about the written word should always correspond to the things that God speaks to you. If you can't line it up in here when you're preaching or whatever, then you probably shouldn't be preaching. That's the way I look at it. I mean, because Jesus was careful that he did not violate the scriptures, you know. I mean, he was the Word of God incarnate in flesh. He was the actual Word of God, you know. And yet, he was very careful. The things that he said lined up with scripture, everything that he said. You can go and find what he said somewhere else in the Bible, you know, even in the Old Testament, if you have eyes to see it, you know. And you know, he doesn't dishonor the written word, because guess what? He'd be dishonoring himself, because he's the one that gave the written word to them that inspired it, you know. So anyway, but you know, you have to realize that Paul was also maturing as he was himself, as he was going on in different things. And when he talked about women not speaking in the church, I think he didn't want there to be any disorder or anything, you know, like women trying to take over the church, because he was talking to the Corinthians, which was in Greece. That was basically, Corinth was basically in Greece. And, you know, like I said, there was, they had a lot of female goddesses and all that kind of stuff, you know, so, you know, women were more verbal there probably than they were in other parts of even other parts of the world at that time, you know. But and you know, we just honor the Word of God, because anytime that the Spirit of God comes inside of you and a woman speaks, it's not a woman. If the Spirit of God speaks out of a man, it's not that man, it's the Spirit of God. And you were given the baptism of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth, you know, and that's what it was given for. And you know, like Clyde said, literally, what you should do when you read the Word is you should read it, and then sometimes get quiet and still and just say, "Now, Lord, you're the teacher, Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Now you teach me what you want me to get out of this." And you'll be surprised sometimes what God will actually show you out of that word, or increase it, or he'll even give you the word before you get into the word, you know.
Well, was he kind of correcting them, or what was he?
I think he was correcting them a little bit there, and you know, if you go into some churches, and I don't know, you've been into various holiness churches and Pentecostal churches and things like that. Sometimes women are very outgoing in those places, you know, at times. You know, I mean, they pretty much run the show, you know. And that's not saying that if it's a Spirit of God in them, then that's fine, you know, if it's a Spirit of God moving in them. But if it's not, then it becomes just an aggressive, you know. We all should be in subjection, you know. Wife should be in subjection to the husband, but the husband is told to love the wife like Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He laid down his life for the church and for all mankind. You know, so who has the tougher thing there? And I'll tell you, I think if you're in a marriage relationship, we'll just take that for instance, if the wife submits to her husband and the husband turns around and submits to the wife and a lot of things, I always said that old time women sometimes were smarter than women today, in the sense that they knew how to get men to do exactly what they wanted them to do, you know. And you know, it's like, and if you, I don't know if you guys are married or not, but if you are, or if you got a girlfriend even, if let's say that she starts nagging you, wanting you to paint a wall in the room or something, and she's just, maybe you don't feel like doing it that particular day, and she starts nagging you to do it, you're going to resist that in the natural. You're going to have a tendency to say, oh man, I don't do that, you know, because you're going to get offended. But if she comes in there and she says, honey, you're so strong, I just know you could just do a wonderful job. If you painted that wall, it'd be so nice, and I would so appreciate it, or something like that, you'll fall all over yourself trying to paint that wall. Because see, that's being in submission, but it's also using your submission in the sense of you're using it in a wise way. And you'll get somebody to do so many more things. By it's like the soft answer turning away wrath thing, you know what I mean? And you have to realize this was a whole different society the way things were done when this was written, and they were in Greece, you know, because they had a lot of things that were out of kilter in Greece, you know what I mean, pretty bad. We were talking about the Delphi. They had people that actually were like soothsayers, were women that would sit in these caves, and these guys would come in, they called them Oracle of Delphi, what they call them, and they'd come in and they'd ask questions, you know, about their life, and they'd tell them what was going to happen or the future and all this kind of stuff, and so really I think what Paul's doing to a certain extent here, he's playing this down, he's trying to bring it down into reality. Because he's the same one who said that in Christ there's neither male nor female. And if a man gets up and he's talking out of his fleshly nature, then he's as much out of line as any woman that would get up and say something or whatever, you know. Yeah, and you know. But anyway. You guys are welcome to speak up. Ask questions or whatever you want to do.
I'll tell you something you're probably never told before. We're willing to accept hearing you to hear more about God. Uh-huh. I think because I believe in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I believe that we're all members of Christ.
That's right.
I mean, I don't care where they're from, who they are, or whatever. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that we recognize Christ in one another, because that's really where our fellowship is.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking in James there, where it says that, I think in King James it said, wherefore, brethren, I would see, let him be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Uh-huh. I think that's one of the greatest examples we can have of Christ, because when we get into the emotion part of it, and we allow our emotions to stir us up. I've been teaching for years for young kids, you know, youngsters, even my grandchildren. But I've been teaching children that when you allow your emotions to take over your body, you can't control your tongue, and you do stupid things. I just put it out there. I said, you do stupid things. Because I started out like, if a fireman comes in and tells you to get on the ground, you know. Because especially if he gets down there with you, he's trying to tell you there's smoke that you can't breathe in. And if a policeman tells you to stop, whatever you do, don't take another step. Because I don't want to see him killed. Because we don't know what position the policeman's been put in, what call he's been on. We don't know so many things. We don't know what spirit he's of. We don't know so many things about people that have put authority over you. That's why I think we were talking earlier about the prophecy. That's why when people don't want to do it in the congregation, now they'll want to take you to the side. That's because they won't want to come into a section of the Holy Spirit in the congregation. They don't want to be held answerable. But you know what? In God's word, we are held answerable. It said the preacher is subject to his own control. Otherwise, I could shut up right now and not say nothing. Because that's enough. And I believe God does do that. Like, you know, his word don't return void. I've been in some place where somebody wanted me to give somebody a word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said, don't you do that. Don't do that. So I didn't. I think they went away mad at me. I can take them being mad at me. I can't take God being mad at me. I don't want to disappoint him. A lot of times people think that, you know, of course these people know me real well, but people think that if you cry in front of people, that's unmanly. I don't believe that at all. I believe brokenness in Christ Jesus is how we should be. We should feel for the other ones that are broken. What is it in Thessalonians? There, not Thessalonians, Ecclesiastes. But there's a time and season for everything.
Right.
And it says, a time to mourn, you mourn with them. A time to be happy, you be happy with them. But it's time to sing, you sing with them. Whatever it is, whatever time it is, God will show us by actually allowing them to come and say something to us. I'll give you an example one time. One time, years ago, we had a brother, Brother Shepherd, Miles Shepherd, in our midst, and he taught. I wasn't too young then. I was probably in my 30s. He taught then that listen to what people say, but hear what God's saying through them. I did that one time. I've done it many times, but the first time I ever did that, a girl knocked on my door at my house where I was living for a long time, and I knew her. She just went about, and finally God told me, tell her to get to the end of it. I said, what do you need? She said, my baby just died. Well, she started breaking down. She said, I don't have anything to help bury her or anything. And the Lord told her, God in you is going to take care of that. So I went to about 6 different churches, and they all gave me more than enough money to take care of the situation. But that's an example of hearing Christ in her, hearing the voice of the Lord in her, hearing the truth. See, the truth in Christ has set every one of us free. Whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. I love that freedom. I rejoice that I didn't earn it, but I'm thankful that he gave it to us. He gave it to us by Calvary, by his blood. Well, anyway, I'll shut up.
Well, also in the book of James, it talks about that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And the J.B. Phillips says, it will not make him feel foolish, you know, and he'll give you the necessary wisdom in a situation. You know, what a lot of people don't realize, Solomon was considered one of the greatest kings ever, you know, back in his time. And Solomon, when he went before the Lord and prayed, he prayed for understanding that he might go in and out among such a great people, you know. And scripture says, humble yourself before God, and in due season he'll exalt you. Well, he does the exalting, not you. You stay humble. If you're smart, you stay humble, I'll say. And the thing about it is that God told him be caught because the Spirit of the Lord had spoken to him and told him to ask what he would, you know. And he asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for wisdom, he asked for understanding.
Right.
And because he asked for understanding, God gave him wisdom. And he was considered one of the wisest men ever until Jesus came. And then Jesus, they said, behold, a great, you know, he's greater than Solomon, you know, his wisdom, Jesus' wisdom. Because it was God's wisdom, total wisdom. But yet, you know, Solomon was a very, very wise man. And, you know, so, if you don't know what to do in a situation, just pray and ask God. And believe that he's going to give you the answer. And he will give you the answer. And sometimes if he doesn't tell you, if you don't feel to do anything, then like Clyde said, don't do anything. If you don't feel like God's directing you to do something, don't do it. But if he is directing you to do something, yield to that and do what he's, what you feel like he's telling you to do. Because I'll tell you this, if you don't, you'll walk away and all of a sudden you'll feel conviction inside of you and you'll begin to feel like, oh man, I really failed God today. You know, and that's a bad feeling. That's not a good feeling. But the neat thing about it is, Scripture says, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. But it even says, even if our hearts do condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And his mercy and his love is greater, even greater than that condemnation that you feel. And usually all he really wants to do is just have you realize where you're at and what, where you fell short in an area, you know, if you fell a little short or something. But this is a good portion of Scripture, but that whole chapter, that whole 1 Corinthians, if you read all the way through that, that's a great chapter to read because it explains the gifts of the Spirit, how they work, and that the greatest thing is love. That's what all of the gifts should function out of, you know, out of the love of God.
Yes.
And, you know, and a lot of times you just have to be obedient. If God is directing you to do something, do it. And what I've found out over my lifetime, and I've told Margaret this, sometimes me and her, you know, she'll tell me her opinion about something or whatever, and she'll say to me sometimes, You never do what I say. I told her, I said, let me tell you something, Margaret. I said, I basically told her, it isn't that I don't do what you say. I said, if I feel like I'm supposed to go in another direction in something, and I don't do that, I get a little bit down the road, and I find out, guess what?
That's what you should
have. That's exactly what I should have done, mm-hmm. because that's what God was inspiring me to do. And a lot of times, if we just realize that's what the Holy Spirit was sent for, to lead us and guide us into all truth. But I told her, I said, I would really rather hear from you than anybody that I know what you think about something. That's my wife. I said, I would rather hear from you what you think. And I said, you know, there's going to be times when we don't see something eye to eye, but I have to go in the direction that God is telling me to go. You know, and you know what Solomon's biggest downfall was? His biggest downfall in the Old Testament, before they came into the Promised Land, God told them. He said, "When you enter into the Promised Land," now this is going to sound a little bit sexist when I say this. He said, "See that you don't add to yourself horses and wives, more than one wife, wives." And what did Solomon do?
Opposite.
Exactly the opposite of what the word said.
Yeah.
And his downfall was that when he married a bunch of different women, they all had different religious views and everything else, and they influenced him to kind of move away from some of the things that God, that he knew God wanted him to do. And that was his big downfall, you know, because of that. So, and I mean, look at what happened with, what was the lady that came? Was it Bathsheba that came? Or
yeah.
Bathsheba, sorry, yeah, Solomon Bathsheba. Yeah. I mean, you know, he messed up. He messed up different times. And he allowed some of the women to have false idols and things like that because that was their culture. You know, and that was wrong.
You know, years ago, we used to have a prayer line where people got in line, you know, in order, and they get prayed, and go down the line and get prayed. Well, I was at the end of the line, and there was about six or seven in between the beginning and the end, and what everybody else was saying sounded really good. And making the individual real happy, but that wasn't what God was giving me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to apologize for what God gives me, because I pray a lot, and I pray a lot that I stay convicted. I want to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, because in that conviction you'll be led in all truth. You'll see it as it is. Well, anyway, the lady got in front of me and her mother was standing behind her. I don't know if it was a look that I had given her or whatever, but her mother patted her on the head and says, "You're gonna get it now." And it basically was that she had been trying to fool everybody, but she can't fool God. And that she needed to repent and change her ways. And she got down on her knees right then and there and did that. But what I'm telling you is, we don't want to be the accuser of the brother. We don't want to be a false prophet. We want to stay in the hands of God, that nothing shall pluck you out of his hand, but what is in his hand shall remain in his hand. Now, I know that personally, whether you're in his hand on this side, you'll still be on in his hand on the other side. Because this life don't separate us from the love of God. If anything, this life, if it was doing what it was supposed to do by God, it would always encourage us to be with God. Listen to him. Listen to the creator of heaven and earth. You know, be a broken vessel. Be that in front of other people that you know you can't put it on. You just let it be. And then my son used to say, I just want to be a blessing. Now I say that to my wife every once in a while. I got a duck sometimes, but that's okay. How long you and Margaret been married?
57 years.
57 years. You're looking at 57 years.
Yeah. I was only two. No.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
57?
Yes. Yeah, look at the other couple, Geraldine and...
Yeah, they've been married.
They'll be married...
70 years.
They've already been married 70 years. Yeah. If they're here today, they've already been married 70 right. years.
Mm-hmm. And they just we celebrated his birthday.
His 90th birthday.
You guys were 50-something, weren't you, Clyde? 52 or something?
We've been married
51. Yeah.
We're the young people. That's no lie. When I started in the church, I was the young person.
We only been married 5.
Yeah.
It'll be 6 this year. But yeah. We've known each other since what, first grade, second grade.
Well, God put you guys together, that's for sure.
I was going to ask you, are you guys missionaries? Or do you live here in America, or where you live?
Yeah, we live here in Winchester, like 2 miles from here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we live around here. But you see McDonald's there?
McDonald's.
Or the school, Andorf School.
Oh.
Yeah, we live around here. It's like 5 minutes, 6 minutes from here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
now, are you related to
each other? Are you brothers or?
No, he's my brother. He's my friend.
He's your friend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he's your brother in Christ, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have a question about this one. What we are?
Sure.
We're talking. So we are from. Africa,
mm-hmm.
So we have been here a long time, and our challenge is English language.
Mm-hmm.
So we try our best because in our country we don't use mm-hmm. English. It's French or Swahili, like that.
Mm-hmm.
We are from Africa, Congo. So I've been here in the U.S. 7 years, and my brother is almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm. 2 years.
2 years. So I've been in Arizona, Phoenix, 5 years. So I've been here around 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now I moved from there. So we have family. So I have a wife and 4 kids. He has a wife and 2 kids. We are trying to search in Google where we can come to for prayer and our God help us to delect it here. That's That's why we are here.
Mm-hmm.
So we are Christian. We believe Jesus. We believe everything God do for us.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, when we came here, I'm trying to read some story of the church in USA. So we speak about the prophet. So some church here believe the whole the prophet times is taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Some churches here believe the gift of prophets, but they say the prophets they take over. No hospital do again something new in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Some churches say like that. And I understand when you talk, you say it's not woman on men's talk, it's hospital talk.
Holy Spirit, right. Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you can say this woman, because Paul said
mm-hmm.
the woman can be quiet in the church. That's what we did. But you express, it's not the woman's talk or the man, but it's
Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm. Talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, my question is, how are you managing about prophetic times
mm-hmm.
for now? You believe the Holy Spirit work, until now.
Yeah.
Or it's like taking over. Now it's something you have like subscribed the Bible, and something new in your revelation like that. How you think and how you managing about women in the church and the men?
Mm-hmm.
That's my two questions. I don't know if I talk. I'm so sorry.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, look, if you read in Corinthians and you read through Corinthians, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about basically the ministries that were given were apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. You know, which we call it the fivefold ministry of the hand. You know, a lot of churches try to talk like the prophetic is gone and all that. Well, we don't believe that. We believe that all of those ministries are still
active,
you know. And basically, all of those ministries were given for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means the building up of the body of Christ. It's like if you want prayer when we go out in assembly, we can pray for you if that's what you'd like. And God might give us a prophetic word for you, and he might not, you know. He might give a word of knowledge for you, and he might not. That's just depends on whatever the Lord wants to do, you know. But what you have to learn to do is that if God gives you a prophetic word, he will usually establish his word out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. In other words, if he gives you a prophetic word or something from somebody, in other words, if I would come over and pray for you and God gave me a prophetic word for you. I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. You know, I mean, as far as, you know, your personal life or any of that stuff like that, I don't know what your aspirations are or anything like that. But a lot of times what that prophetic word would be, it would be a word that's something you feel already down in your heart. And God is going to build that up in you. That's what prophecy is really for. It's to build the church up. And he says here in Corinthians that he would rather that you prophesy rather than do any of these other things. You know, I mean, but all of the ministries are, they're all important. You know, my thumb is very important on my hand. My finger is very important. My toe is very important. I tell you what, when I get up at night and I bump my toe on the table and walk on to the bathroom, I bumped my toe, and my hand and everything else goes right to my toe to rub that thing as quick as I can to get the pain out of it, you know. So, you know, that's how the gifts work in that sense. And the prophecy, now like today when I'm going to speak out of Zechariah, one of the old prophets. You know, and I spoke out of Zechariah last week. I'm going to speak out of it again this week. And, you know, I'm going to give an interpretation of what I feel like the Lord has shown me concerning those scriptures. And it'll be a little bit broader than what is just there on the page, you know. But see, prophecy and teaching and things like that, they're to build you up. They're not to try to pin you in or close you in. In this particular church, we want to see the body of Christ grow up, you know. So we encourage ministry. We encourage people to minister. You know, a sister over there, she writes beautiful poetry. She's a poet. I mean, and the word prophet, if you look it up, is in the original Greek in the New Testament, it literally means poet. Poetess, that's how it's actually said in Greek, poetess. So it's a word that means performer, it means a poet. And in some places in the book of Acts, they use the same word there, it'll say be doer of the word. In James, it says, you know, be a doer of the word, not only just a hearer. Well, that word doer is that same word. And what really mounts out to what a prophet should be doing is he should be harmonizing the body of Christ, getting the body of Christ in harmony with what God wants to do.
Whether you're male or female.
Male or female, it doesn't make any difference with the gifts. When the gifts flow, you know, then there's women who are, I know women who are wonderful preachers. I mean, they preach the Word of God and they're very good. And they have insight into the Word of God to rival any man, you know. And Paul, when he was saying this here, was kind of, he was in a place where women were they were a little bit out of control in the governmental type things over there. You know, it was kind of weird, you know, the way it was going. And he was trying to bring it back into control some. But Paul also, different times when he wrote his letters, he would mention the wife sometimes first. Well, you don't mention the wife first unless the wife, you know, in the natural order of things, unless the wife has a predominant place in there. And there was women that had the anointing on their life that they led things and they did things. The scriptures don't really go into that much. And in the Old Testament, you had Deborah. She was a prophet, you know. And you had, what was it, I'm trying to think of the one who was stayed in the temple until they had said they weren't going to leave the temple until they saw the Christ come forth or the Messiah. And she stayed in the temple and ministered in the temple. Well, ministry can be anything. It can be helping people. It can be cleaning up the church. It can be helping your next door neighbor. It can be anything, you know. But, you know, one gift is not more important than the other. They're all important, you know, all of them are. But if you really study Corinthians, it kind of gives you a blueprint of how the ministry should work, you know. And we do believe that in prophecy, we do believe that there's prophetic ministries. You know, I've got news for you. There's apostolic ministries too. There's Apollo. And what those tend to do is they help the church grow up. They try to build up ministries. They try to get ministries to come forward, because that's what Paul did. And when he traveled, he was trying to establish ministries. Well, even nowadays, you don't have to do a lot of traveling. You can travel on the internet with the things that you put on the internet to teach people, because if they go on the internet and get your messages and stuff, you know, it you can learn tons of things on the internet, you know, and all kinds of things. But I hope that explained to you. Did that give you a good enough explanation of that?
Yes.
Okay. And the other thing was, what was the other one? You were talking about the prophetic
I was talking about, so you said I have five ministries.
Uh-huh.
So, how you believe, have to be pastor, teaching, prophet, like that. The woman, the woman can take because it's the hospital conduct the people. So you, how you believe the woman to be pastor?
Be apostle, you say?
The pastor
or a pastor?
Yes.
Pastor. Okay, I believe that. I believe there are some women that are pastors. Yes, I do. I think if God places that anointing on them, that's fine. But see, literally what anybody should do when you're flowing in any kind of ministry, you should be asking the Lord. That's like, I don't just say, well, I'm going to do this today or I'm going to do that today. You know, I'm considered to be the pastor of this church. But, you know, I pray about it and I say, Lord, what would you have me share with the people today? I don't know what to share. And I wait on the Lord until I get a direction that I feel like I'm supposed to go. And that's what I teach on. And, you know, Clyde, I'm sure you did the same thing when you were sitting down with the Word this morning. And we actually have a woman that normally leads this class. She's not here today. So I mean...
No, they went away.
Yeah, they went... Yeah, yeah, they're not here today. And, you know, we don't try to hold women down. We want them to, we want anybody that ministers in the church to be ministering out of the Holy Spirit, you know, and to be prayerful about what they're doing and that kind of thing, you know.
And God is speaking to us all because He has right. asked me, do you have something
sure.
to share? And I have spoken here several times.
Sure.
But it's been out of some things I'm going through and some things that God has, like I spoke before on forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
and God was dealing with me, and I was going through some things, and even with a relative of mine, and God was telling me to, and we cannot love one another. God wants us, it's only by Him, and mm-hmm. God told me to pray for her,
yeah.
and you cannot pray for someone and have awe in your heart or something against them because of what they've done to you. The more I prayed for her, the more God began to bring this love up. And I would see her. I saw her in a different way. I understood where she was coming from and why she was coming from there. And it wasn't directed so at me. It was because of the hurt that she had within her. And out of that, God began to minister to her through me. So. And it was just so wonderful. I just couldn't believe I felt about her before what I did because He had given such a love to me. And I, at one point, had raised her daughter. Her daughter was a little girl coming to live with me. But it was because of her state of being and where she was. I was raised. So I loved this child as my own. So the day that, and she's now grown, got a child of her own, and was living back sometime with her mother. And she asked to go to church with me. And that Sunday that she went to church, He had already asked me to share the week before. And she had some unforgiveness towards her mother, which I always spoke to her, to ask God to help you to forgive your mother, to love your mother, because it's for your good, for your good. And that Sunday I spoke, it was a Sunday that she asked to go to church. And it was on forgiveness. And when I got this, she said, you did that just, it spoke sir, to her. I didn't know she was going to go to church with me that Sunday, but God knew. She went to church with us that Sunday. But God certainly spoke to her heart on forgiveness, and it's because of what I had experienced and what He had done in me. And we ourselves cannot love anyone the way God would have us to love them, the way He wants to love them through us. And and right now she's even staying with her mother for a period of time. And her little son is visiting the family. But I look at the things that God, all that He's done in us is that we can help others. That is building them up, encouraging, because we're all part of one another, this body. Then we're all part of one another. Right. And we desire for Christ to so be.
We need to close right now.
All right.
So, Lord, we thank You for this day.
Thank You, Jesus.
For it surely is the day that the Lord hath made. And just let us rejoice. Let
yes.
us rejoice with our new brothers. Father, let us rejoice in the Spirit. that he that is of the Lord has one spirit. So, Father, be glorified, be magnified out in the congregation. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.